kick.
This is not the way anybody wanted to start a Monday, ladies and gentlemen. No way, no how. We're talking about thousands of people dead in the Gaza Strip, in Israel, in what is a senseless attack by Hamas. And it's just, I think at times we don't understand the geography. We don't grab a map, you know, because we don't think about it. You know, in most cases, we sit there and we go, we know we support Israel. We know that terrorists had been targeting Israel for years, and that the Israeli people have been great allies of ours throughout the years, and have been individuals that that have been persecuted for time and time and time again. And it's our job to stick up for them, just like they'll stick up for us when we need it. Well, that didn't happen over the weekend, not in terms of us sticking up for them. This peace that we had worked towards, that everybody thought we had this safety, it's not there. Steve Hunnig is our guest. Steve is the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. Steve, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Abby. And you hit the nail right on the head at the beginning, Joel, and that is the importance of the relationship between the United States and Israel. Ever since Israel was born, May 14, 1948, when the future Prime Minister, read the Israel's Declaration of Independence, and President Truman recognized the state 11 minutes after it, the connection has been absolutely rock solid and profound. And so if there's any good news this morning, it's that President Biden, the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the State, have all reaffirmed and promised Israel all necessary means to defend itself in the wake of this heinous terrorist attack by Hamas.
And I want to go to there, Steve. I really do. But first off, I think people need to understand why in 1948 this all happened in the first place. I mean, what the justification was, how the world drove it, how, I mean, explain to people how Israel got started.
You mentioned something about geography, Joel. I-29, Fargo to Grand Forks to Fargo, about an hour's drive. That's the distance between about Jerusalem to Tel Aviv and back, of course. And Gaza to Jerusalem, maybe a little bit longer. You're talking about very small distances, not like the large, wonderful prairies and territory that we have. You know, the JCRC is 225,000 square miles between Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So geography is everything in that sense. But back to your question, it's a shame because we could have had a two-state solution a long time ago. In 1947, the United Nations voted to partition Palestine mandate to the British into Jewish and Arab states, November 29, 1947. That was one opportunity there, but the Arab nations and their then Palestinian counterparts said, no, we're going to destroy Israel at its birth. And at the 48 war, and Israel triumphed, and there was an Israel. Fast forward to 2000, right? President Clinton essentially went all in on trying to negotiate a peace treaty to end conflict between Palestinians and Israelis. Camp David, Arafat, Prime Minister, Barak at that time, and it failed, and the Palestinians launched the Second Intifada. Abba Iban, Israel's great late foreign minister, once said the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. But perhaps we would have advanced beyond that. For Gaza, you know, Prime Minister Sharon, no great dove by any stretch, evacuated Gaza, thinking this was not in Israel's best interest, demography or any other way, to be an occupier of Gaza. What happened is Hamas rises, and ever since, series of wars and attacks from Gaza on Israel, culminating in what happened on late Friday, early Saturday. So this is sort of the sorrowful history that we face. Potential for a two-state solution, justice for Israelis and Palestinians, two states living side by side in peace. Instead, we have this ugly reality. So that's how we get to where we are today in a nutshell.
You know, if you look at it, there were so many of us, I believe, that just assumed that this had been fixed. And not fixed in a way that the Palestinians and the Israelis were going to get along. I mean, not naive in that area. In naive in as much as Israel with the Iron Dome was protected, that there was nothing they could do, that the investments had been made, that really if we were going to sit down and have any conversation about the Middle East, what we needed to talk about was how what could change in terms of our perception or the treatment of the Palestinians, because there wasn't a problem anymore. I think, Steve, I feel pretty naive today for believing that.
Let's take a step back, and your point is well taken, Joel. Easy for us to criticize Israel, and believe me, the depth of the examination of what went wrong will be huge. And every inch of evidence will be scoured over. No doubt a commission will be convened to examine. Look at what Israel faces just on an intelligence basis day to day. Let's look at the geography again. We'll use that term. Israel has a relatively cold peace with Jordan and Egypt. Nevertheless, they've held out for many decades at this point, which is good. Warmer peace is actually with newer members of the Circle of Peace, United Arab Emirates, Sudan, sort of the near abroad in Israel's terms, which have been very helpful. Israel was approaching negotiations, perhaps, with Saudi Arabia, which had been a remarkable breakthrough and probably one of the reasons Hamas struck when it was, to make that even more difficult. You know, meanwhile, you have Hamas situation in Gaza. You have the tortured, complex situation with Hezbollah, strongly armed by Iran, with thousands of missiles poised at Israel. By the way, Hezbollah striking across the border yesterday or early this morning. A very complex relationship in Syria. Syria, an implacable enemy of Israel, but Russia trying to, in its own way, exert its influence by trying to maintain control of a conflict between Syria and Israel, because Iran is really the puppet master besides Russia in Syria. What's the sum total of that? At any given time, Israel is managing many different conflicts, opportunities, not to mention the issues with Israel's internal cohesion over the democracy issues and great debate within Israel. So what happens with Hamas? I mean, this is what we're going to find out, but the result has been for the whole world to see. The Jewish press is describing the massacres, the 800 people dead, as the greatest killing of Jews, greatest in the sense, largest number, of course, since the Holocaust, since the Shoah, which is an absolutely remarkable proposition when you think about it. Obviously, something went catastrophically wrong in connection with the Hamas invasion of Israel through the border and into Israel, and running on rampage, killing 200 people at 250 people at a rave yet in the desert, celebrating the end of a Jewish holy day just on Friday and Saturday. You know, we've lived this lesson, Joel, in the United States, right? You and I were talking about before, the Japanese weren't going to be able to attack Pearl Harbor because the harbor was too shallow for Japanese torpedoes, right? Well, they modified the torpedoes, and we saw what happened. 9/11, a lot of messages, a lot of information circulating. We didn't synchronize it, integrate it. Look what happened to our country on 9/11. This has been a problem for democracies. It's taken by surprise, right, for all of our capabilities, both human and signal intelligence. Sometimes we fail with catastrophic results. I will say this. We'll see the United States and Israel, another way in which we're sort of wedded together, is that both countries know how to respond to emergencies. We may have difficulties at the beginning, horrible difficulties at the beginning, but we respond. For Israel's sake, when it was taken terribly by surprise at the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, it ultimately ended both with terrible casualties in the war, but in a place that strategically allowed for negotiation of a peace treaty between Israel and Egypt. It took years, but Sadat and Begin came together and negotiated with President Clinton as the interlocutor. My point there is sometimes good things emerge from catastrophe. I don't necessarily see that here, given Hamas is not a sovereign state like Egypt and probably has no interest in negotiating with Israel. But try to put this in the context. That's my message here.
Yeah. Well, I I'm glad you did. I mean, you take over 2 million people and you put them in that small of area with a complete different ideology. And sometimes I think you'd have to use the word hatred, and bad things are going to happen. And then you get complacent in terms of just technology and what I would call in some ways advantage. And it just, it scares me. I mean, it absolutely scares me that, and easily this could go much farther. The world could be at war in a little bit. Steve, if you would, hang with us. Just a couple more questions for you, okay?
Of course, Joel. It's my pleasure to appear on your program with you and Abby, okay?
You bet. Steve Hunek, Steve is the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. And just for full disclosure, one of the guys that I always count on, and he connected me with Steve because he's just such common sense and a walking history book of a lot of this, is Jim Shaw, who guest hosts for me a lot, and he's on Steve's board. So thank you to Jim as well. Steve Hunnigs is our guest. He is the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and North Dakota. We're talking about the horrific attack on Israel from Hamas. Steve, I want to get your take on where you think this goes from here. Clearly, the retaliation from Israel has been severe, and it's going to get worse. We both know that. But, you know, Israelis now being used as human shields to try to stop some of what happened. I mean, where do you think this goes from here, Steve?
Let me make one point, and that's the importance of the bipartisan nature of the United States-Israel relationship. I wanted to say thank you to Representative Armstrong. My friend Senator Kramer and Senator Hoeven, who've all issued very strong statements in support of Israel. That's critically important. You mentioned Jim Shaw. We're very proud of Jim as our board member, as we are the entire Temple Beth El community in Fargo, as well as the Rabbi Grossman, too, with the Chabad movement, too. So, you know, that's really important. You know, the local involvement is critical. You know, Herman Stern, Rough Rider Hall of Fame, Bismarck, Fargo Clothier. He did so much for so many different communities, and that's what we believe in, is just building communities. So hoping in mind, I've had a little drosh there, as we say in Hebrew. But back to your question.
That's good. I'm glad you did.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said, we're going to change the Middle East. And I imagine, I hope at least, that they're seeing some sort of end, maybe the end of Hamas, but at the same time, you know, trying to find a better, more hopeful future for the Middle East, which of course includes the Palestinians and Israel's relations with its neighbors. And perhaps he's referring to the possibility of diplomatic relations and peace with Saudi Arabia. That's what we hope for. But as you suggest, Joel, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Unfortunately, any sort of ground incursion into Gaza is going to be painful and difficult, and I fear bloody, too. And that's the point of a powerful relationship between the United States and Israel, and what President Biden had to say, is that the United States will stay the course with Israel, given the exigencies and the necessities of the situation, and that includes all the folks in the Red River Valley, too. You know, we're never too far from the Middle East conflict, even if we are in North Dakota or Minnesota, and you know, the views of our elected officials, North Dakota and Minnesota, are very important.
So you look at it in terms of the Palestinians, and you think, okay, we have to represent both sides. We have to at least try to understand it from a perspective of both sides. The Palestinians, you know, the PLO, if you're my age, you understand the history of the PLO and you understand the history of Yasser Arafat. But you're sitting there and the Palestinians themselves voted in, you know, a little while ago, Hamas. I mean, they had a chance to not be where they're at today in terms of being run in that Israeli territory, in the Palestinian territory, I should say, by Hamas, and yet they voted it in. I don't know how you fix that, Steve. I don't.
2007, right? The withdrawal, and then Gaza essentially seizes, Hamas eventually seizes control via a coup in 2007, kills many of the leaders of the Palestinian Authority associated with Gaza. There's always been this internal struggle within the Palestinian movement. Who will have the upper hand? People who want to find accommodation and ultimately reach the goal of a two-state solution, or the rejectionist front. I have to say, sadly, the rejectionist front is seemingly now in the driver's seat, particularly with Hamas. And you got to look at the situation and say about Hamas, if their goal was to interfere with any progress towards peace in the Middle East, which these days has been pivoting potentially on an Israel-Saudi Arabia relationship, they succeeded, at least in the short term, because it's hard to imagine these negotiations are going to go forward, at least in a formal sense, while the conflict is raging right now. So you have to look at it. And, you know, this has been a sad, awful history. After the assassination of Prime Minister Rabin and Israel went to elections, and President Peres, excuse me, future President Peres, but at that time, candidate for Prime Minister Peres, who was probably as dovish a leader as Israel has ever had, and was trying to build upon the momentum of the 1993 Oslo, what happened? Islamic Jihad launched a series of bus bombings throughout Israel. What did that do? That defeated, that defeated Peres and the left-center coalition, and that also delayed peace or halted peace at a critical time. So this has been the trend in the Palestinian world, is when a milestone is perhaps going to be reached, terrorism results, and that delays, if not effectively puts to an end, certain opportunities for peace.
Steve, thank you for your time. I know how many people are tugging at you today. I appreciate you coming on.
Joel, thank you. I'm always available for news and views for you and Abby, and thank you for all you do to communicate it.
Thank you.
River Valley.
Okay. I appreciate it. We'll be back with more.